Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Simon. I missed you last week.
You did indeed. I was sunning myself down in Durban, swimming in the water. But I tell you what, I'm having difficulty with connections because clearly I'm broadcasting from home this afternoon. My line is really letting me down. So the less I say, the better. Sarah, I'm going to hand over to you. Right. And you're going to tell us what you're going to talk about and you're going to talk about it. And I'm going to not subject anybody to my awful connection.
Right. What I'd like to just talk about is not an unexpected thing, but very sad nevertheless. And that is the very last Apple Day newspaper edition, which is sold out across Hong Kong. Now, the newspaper is the last print medium that is essentially pro-democracy. And its edition of 1 million copies was sold out by 8:30 a.m. Now, its normal run is only about 80,000. And what had happened is that it said it would cease operations after the police froze $2.3 million in assets, searched its office, and arrested five top editors and executives. And the authorities accused them of foreign collusion to endanger national security. So we're watching the inevitable sort of strangulation of democracy in Hong Kong. I have very little doubt it will get worse and worse because the Chinese government is very authoritarian. It's not been too sort of backward in coming forward on that issue. And it's just that since pro-democracy demonstrations were clamped down upon and new laws were entered into, it was bound to disappear. It was bound to disappear. So it's very sad, as I say, but it was inevitable. And five of the senior managers of the newspaper have been arrested by the authorities. Let me just see if I can find what they described it for.
Sorry, I was just wondering, and I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot,
yeah,
but do you remember what the terms of the agreement were between the United Kingdom and China when they gave the territory back? I mean, how long did the Chinese agree not to mess with Hong Kong for?
I think it was about 50 years.
5-0.
Yeah, 5-0.
So we're nowhere near that.
No, I think essentially authoritarianism is such a strong instinct with the Chinese government that the repetition of pro-democracy demonstrations that put pressure on the governor of Hong Kong made them angry, and eventually the anger spilled over, and the Chinese authorities were going to take control of Hong Kong, irrespective of agreements with the UK. And I'm sure part of what would have backed it up is the fact that they know how strong they are economically. And Xi Jinping is a very, very, very totalitarian man. So what's really sad, of course, is that, you know, the British Foreign Secretary, etc., they've all made the right noises, but they really sound a bit lame. And, you know, one would love to see China sort of get a response from the Western world that it really deserves, but I suspect it's unlikely to.
We know that's not going to happen. Yep. In fact, I was very surprised yesterday to see the Israelis for the very first time ever vote against China mm-hmm. in the UNHCR, where they were discussing the plight of the Uyghurs. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering from a geopolitical perspective, what on earth was going on there? How, from a realpolitik point of view, could Israel possibly take a stance against China?
Well, I suspect that, I mean, I have absolutely no detailed knowledge of economic relations with China, but really those are the only relations that matter. So I'm assuming that it's done the calculations and that other countries haven't are likely to come in to fill the breach because China will not take this well. But there's obviously, I presume, the political calculation of Israel being seen to support the Uyghurs when those critical of Israel won't. Exactly what the issues are that balance one way or the other, I'm not sure, but I suspect some of what I've said pertains.
Yeah. No, the other thing that really does concern me from an Israeli perspective about China is the incredibly warming relations between China and Iran.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that has something to do with it as well. And I suspect it has something to do with the fact that I would imagine China does not see Israel as the sort of country that it can go into and buy up its ports and its harbors and its airports, et cetera, and make them sort of eternally indebted to China. But Iran has problems. I mean, it's still waiting for sanctions to be lifted. It's not democratic, which I imagine at the moment in China is a huge attraction, which would be a huge problem for Israel. Yeah, you know, my enemy's friend is my enemy, so to speak.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sarah, thank you so much for your input this week. I will be back next week, as you will be, and we'll catch up and do this all over again.
Cool.